Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community and the number of folks engaged in community serving. Today, we are talking with the folks from the Port Townsend Wearable Arts Show. Port Townsend's Wearable Arts Show began in 2010. This favorite annual event, typically held over Mother's Day, is a powerful, transformative example of art in people's life, wearable art. This show was recently canceled, and this organization has now pivoted their efforts to focus on why art is so important in our lives. We have with us Tina McLeese and Margie McDonald, folks very much invested in the wearable arts program, in spite of being canceled.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Tina, thank you so much. Now, Tina, as the chair of this event, you are responsible for the Wearable Arts Show. Is that correct?
Yes.
And, Margie, you come to this organization leading as an artist and a mentor for folks. I think your title is a Swatch Team. Is it a team coordinator? Is that what you said?
The Swatch Team coordinator is a bit of a side thing. I'm the student coordinator is my job there, but the Swatch Team grew out of the need and desire to help students who needed a little more technical assistance, as well as an introduction to wearable art.
Well, speaking of introduction to wearable art, Tina, I'm not sure if everyone really has had the wonderful opportunity of attending this annual event. Could you give our listeners a little bit of a background on the history of wearable arts specific to Port Townsend and perhaps a little bit how it ties into the larger body of art?
Yes, I can, and I'm going to pivot over to Margie for some of this. So the show was kind of the brainchild of Debbie Steele and Margie, who's on the phone with us, and Judith Bird, and just at the very beginning, just trying to figure out how do we put together this show. The show is, and what could it turn into? And so it's really grown, and we've had tremendous success with it over these years, and right, and this was going to be our 10th year anniversary. Fund for Women and Girls is the organization that is uses this as their main fundraiser. And their only fundraiser, really, for raising dollars for women and girls in Jefferson County. I'm going to go ahead and give this over to Margie to kind of talk a little bit about wearable art itself and some of the foundational kind of focus that we have for the show in particular.
Margie, I would really like it if you could define what is a wearable art for starters.
I like the definition of wearable art as sculpture on the body. And sometimes a lot of people's pieces, you know, they're not necessarily sculptural, but there's still a lot of artistic intent gone into creating a piece of art that can be presented on the human body. When I first heard about wearable art, I had no idea what it is. I met Debbie Steele. She had come from Ketchikan, where they'd been having a wearable art show for many years at that point. And when she said, "Do you want to be part of this wearable art show?" I thought, "I certainly do, because I like those two words together. But what is it?" Mm-hmm. And I went online and I saw a lot of information, especially from the world of wearable art in New Zealand. They kind of go really over the top with entries from all around the world. And that was inspirational to start. And Debbie Steele wanted to start this because she worked with the Jefferson County Community Fund, and she wanted to start the Fund for Women and Girls. And as Tina said, this was our fundraiser. We started at Madrona Mind and Body 10 years ago with one show and an audience of about, I think, 125. And then we moved up to the Elks Club, and then finally we ended up at the McCurdy Complex in Fort Worden because it was the biggest venue that could accommodate us.
Wow, the growth, the popularity, it is one of those events that people really do look forward to. It must take a lot of hands to get this production launched. So how many artists do you have participating in years past, Tina?
I think for the last couple of years, we've been right about 50 pieces in the show. Entries can include multiple artists, so that sometimes there's a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, maybe 60 people, artists who are participating, but there are 50 pieces that walk the stage.
And the layers of volunteers that it takes to do this must be pretty in-depth. You've got artists who send in a submission, and you've got to show the production, and then tell me a little bit about the behind the scenes that goes on.
Yes, I'd love to tell you about the volunteers that help make it all happen. We have, of course, the artists who are submitting their pieces for consideration in the first place. We have the models that support that artist getting their vision across the stage. Sometimes our artists are their own models, but often we're out looking for volunteer models to help present that on stage. We have the front of house, which are the ushers and everybody it takes logistically to carry the show off, in addition to an entire production team to reorganize the venue. And then all of the back of stage food and all of the support for the artists that are back there, makeup and whatever their needs are before the show. And then, of course, we have a management team that heads up the effort throughout the year, which, of course, then intensifies as the event comes closer. But we're making sure that we're hitting all of our benchmarks as the years go by and then really tweaking the show a little bit at a time each year to kind of really refine, which now really runs very smoothly. And then we have another layer of volunteers, which take the form of a swatch team that Margie mentioned a little bit, and that is really connecting students who maybe don't have the skills yet and are just learning how to put their concepts together, and they've got some teams then to be able to help them execute.
Margie, let's talk about that swatch team after our radio station ID. If you're just tuning in, this is Everybody Can, a production of KPTZ 91.9, and you are listening to Everybody Can, talking to the folks from the Port Townsend Wearable Arts. Margie McDonald, one of which leads students to learn a little bit more about art through wearable arts, and Tina McLeese. Margie, so tell us about the swatch team.
Okay. So I, through an organization called PT Artscape, I work at the high school making wearable art or sculptures with the students at least once a year. And I met a student a couple of years ago who said to me, my boyfriend's mother wants to talk about wearable art. She lives in Quilsey. And so I contacted Camille Hildebrandt and got a few of my friends together, and we went to Quilsey to introduce the students to wearable art. And last year we had a team of four of us. This year there's a team of five of us, and we go down once a week, and the students already have their drawings, their concept ideas, and they enter the show. Sometimes they start with the student show, which happens in January, and go on to the big show. And the swatch team helps them with technical issues, with sewing, with different construction materials and different techniques. And Camille holds a space for them, works with them because she's the performing arts teacher. She works with them on what their performance is going to be. She coached our performance for our student wearable art show this year. And so we have a whole team of volunteers who work behind the scenes to help the students that way.
That's fantastic. I did not realize that the wearable arts had a presence in the high school out in Quilcene as well. So, you know, we're talking about the wearable arts program, and we're looking forward to a future where it won't be canceled. If someone's listening today and wanted to learn how to get involved, I know it's 12 months out, but that year flies. How would one would they best reach you to learn more about the wearable arts program for next year?
Thank you, Missy. This is Tina. And yes, absolutely. Go to our website, ptwearableart.com. And you have an option, a little button that gives you, it collects information and then gives you some different options for what you might be interested in participating in there, and or I think there's even a fill in the blank. So we're happy to get that information early, and we'll just be in communication with folks as opportunities arise.
You know, I was so impressed with the idea that, you know, you have this canceled event and you pivoted to something that you really emphasize, staying connected and inspired through this time. Let's talk about what you've got going on for the online mask competition. I think you've called it the Unmasked Expression. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think it came from a brainstorming kind of concept and just talking about maybe having a subset of the show be about a component of an entire outfit. And so masks kind of came up, headgear had come up in a different kind of other conversations. And so as I was talking with Denise Winters of Key City Public Theater, and who has been our MC for many years, who's amazing. So we were just kind of throwing this idea around and thought, oh, well, what would happen and what does that look like and how would we do an online and how fun would that be? And so I think on a Thursday, we were talking about that. I think it was a Thursday, and then on a Friday, I pitched it to the team as a whole, and by Monday, we had a test site ready to go and working through the details. And so we were able to get it up and running pretty quick, and we're just now waiting for all the entries to roll in.
Well, give us a few details about, so this is a competition open to all. Is there a fee involved?
There's no fee for entry. Every artist, anyone is open to enter. There's no age limit at all. You can enter every day, so you have, let's see, between now and the 26th, you've got 19 entries that you could possibly enter.
And how do they submit it?
And they go to our website, ptwearableart.com, and there's a button on there for mask contest. And it's a super simple entry. They submit an image, or they link to a video if the piece calls for a video, and it will come alive. So I'm hoping to see some video representations there. And then they're accepted into the show. So in the past, typically we've had a juried show, and we announce who's going to be in the show. This is just whoever wants to enter can enter. And once the competition is closed, we will open it up for voting, and the public will decide who wins the prize money.
What a fantastic way to pivot from a canceled event and to put an artistic spin on a kind of a painful time in this season that we're living through. And I am really excited to learn more about who actually gets the prize. And will we be able to see these masks? Is it going to be open on your website once the competition is over?
Well, the effective the 27th, it will be open to the public, and so everyone can come see and vote for themselves. And we'll be pushing it out to everybody's social media that we've got. And yeah, we want engagement. We want engagements to build the masks in the first place and to vote. And we're receiving entries that are functional, and we're receiving entries that are kind of crazy and off the wall.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Margie and Tina, I am so glad we got to talk to you about this today. The website again for the Wearable Art Unmasked Expression Mask Competition is, could you give that to us one more time?
Yes, it is ptwearableart.com.
And if I may, I would like to suggest that you go really crazy with your masks and possibly be inspired for the piece you're going to enter into the show next year.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Excellent. Good advice. And thank you, ladies, for bearing with us doing this conference call radio interview. It's been a delightful and a great distraction. I can't wait to see these masks. Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our production coordinator and sound engineer is Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank the programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Now go out, get involved, and make it a great day. Thanks.